I'm expecting
Welcome back to the Reinvent Health Podcast. In this installment of the show, I'm chatting with Jesse Christelis, owner and founder of the Donkey Dairy. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm super, super excited to be with you.
Such a pleasure to have you. So a couple of weeks ago, a mutual friend invited me to come and visit you at your beautiful farm in the Magaliesberg. And I honestly didn't know what to expect. And I have to say, what we experienced was rather incredible. So why don't we begin with your story? Let's go way back. And you can tell us how it all started and what were the events that led up to you starting what is now known as the Donkey Dairy.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, so it's been a pretty amazing journey. Going way back to Jesse as a kid, my parents moved around quite a lot because of the nature of their work. So we grew up in a lot of different little towns and cities. And I always struggled to make human friends, but made very good animal friends. And that was kind of my safe space. And so we basically moved from one place to the next, and I would take Noah's Ark with me with all my animals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my gran actually had, my gran had super green fingers and taught me how to garden and how to grow vegetable gardens and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of where my love for farming started. And fast forwarding a couple of years later, I actually studied musical theater.
Okay.
And that's what I'm qualified in. So I performed for 4 years doing mostly stage musicals. Then my partner and myself at the time, we decided we'd look for a small holding just outside of Joburg where we could do our own little homesteading and still be close enough to the city to work in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so we bought our small holding in Randfontein and started off with a few chickens. We had a vegetable garden and we had some sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of where it was supposed to end. It was just supposed to be our little self-sustainable homestead.
Yeah.
And we ran into an issue in the beginning of our stay there with jackals and stray dogs that were trying to attack our sheep. So we needed to try to find a way we could naturally protect the herd of sheep. And we did some research, and our research told us that donkeys apparently are very good herd protectors or herd guardians. Because if they grow up with a herd of sheep or cattle, they see them as their family, and if a predator comes in and tries to attack the herd, the donkey will actually defend the herd.
Yeah.
So we went on a search to try to find two donkeys that could grow up with our sheep. And eventually at the equine abattoir in Randfontein, we found two young donkey foals in one of the slaughter pens. And we made a deal with the owner of the abattoir and we bought those two donkey foals out. Those two donkey foals we named Sarki and Betsy. So nice Afrikaans names.
Yeah.
And they really made us fall in love with donkeys. We quickly realized donkeys are super intelligent animals, very caring animals. And obviously from a profitability point of view, we didn't have any more losses with our sheep. So we thought maybe there's a way we can sustainably farm with donkeys to actually produce income. And in that way, to save more donkeys from the equine abattoir or from other places of misery.
Yeah.
And donkeys in South Africa have got such a bad rap as well. They're just seen as useless animals. Even the Department of Agriculture doesn't classify donkeys in South Africa as livestock.
Really? That is really
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah. Okay.
It's insane. So even from a funding point of view, it's very difficult to get funding for a donkey farm because we're not apparently farming with livestock. So there's quite a couple of challenges around that.
Mm-hmm.
But so we did some research, and the research that I did led me to the incredible health benefits of donkey milk. And what I read about the farms that produce milk in Europe, majority of the farms that do produce donkey milk are in Italy and in Greece. It really blew my mind to see the health benefits of donkey milk and what impact that could actually have on not only human health, but also on obviously saving more donkeys from places of misery.
Sure.
And that's basically how the Donkey Dairy started. It was more out of a way to sustainably rescue donkeys. And I ended up buying all these donkeys from the abattoir and didn't know what to do with them and didn't want to become a NPO or rely on donations to look after them, that it needed to be obviously self-sustained.
So.
And that's really how it started. But the journey from there has been pretty amazing.
That is an unbelievable story. So I thought I'd heard everything when it came to milk. I mean, I knew about camel milk and we all know about goat's milk, but this was a first for me. How did you feel when you discovered, donkey milk? I mean, when you go to your farm, everyone gets to taste donkey milk. And I mean, like a lot of the kids sit there and they look at this like you're giving them something that's going to come up and attack them. But how did you feel when you, what were your thoughts when you first came across donkey milk as a commodity or as something that human beings should be consuming or could consume?
Yeah, I think the beginning stages of the farm were pretty interesting when we first milked out our first donkeys and also realized the milking process is totally different to that of a cow. And obviously we sat with this milk, which is known as liquid gold in Europe because of the incredible health benefits. And you kind of question, is it going to have the same effects from our little farm as what it has overseas?
Sure.
And I remember the first case that we had was a baby with severe cow's milk protein allergy, and she had proper colostrum from my mom when she was born. So from day one, she was on laxatives, and we saw her when she was 6 months old, and she was pretty far gone. She had severe eczema and psoriasis, really. Bad gut issues, and this little child came into our lives, and the parents had so much hope because they tried everything else and wanted to put her on donkey milk, and I was super nervous, and the results were phenomenal. 2 days after this kid went onto donkey milk, the mom actually phoned me in tears and said that her baby had gone to the toilet for the first time ever by herself. So her system actually started working. And within 2 weeks, her eczema and psoriasis had cleared up, and she was sleeping through in the evenings. And that was kind of affirmation for us of this milk is really miracle milk, and it can really change people's lives. So that was pretty exciting. And also from the educating side of things, a big thing of what this farm needs to do and why we're here is to educate people in not only the health benefits of donkey milk, but other natural remedies as well. And having them obviously taste donkey milk, and it's obviously, like you said, it's quite a weird thing in a lot of people's minds in South Africa. That initial thing starts a lot of conversations as well about other ways of treating the body and looking after the body in a natural way. I got into this whole thing as a farmer, and at the end of the day, we actually changing people's lives in a different way, and treating quite severe health issues with the milk.
Oh, I love that. So this was clearly a calling. And when you're given an opportunity to do something good for the environment and for animals and for people, there's pretty much no way you can ever turn your back and walk away. Even sometimes knowing that you've chosen a particularly difficult path. So what was it that kept you going through it all? Because I can't imagine this has been plain sailing for you from a business point of view.
Yes, it's been a very interesting journey. From a business point of view, donkey milk is not really profitable in a big way compared to, say, cow dairy or goat dairy, and we can discuss that a bit later. But the initial process of going, okay, cool, I'm going to be a donkey farmer, there was a lot of mocking, and people kind of laughed at the idea, especially the conservative farmers where we started in Randfontein. And I would sit on the auctions and bid on these poor donkeys that were in terrible condition and buy them out so they didn't go to the slaughterhouses. And there, so yeah, around that, obviously, I felt quite alone in that whole process. That I couldn't really relate to the other farmers. But to be honest with you, the thing that really kept me going in the beginning was definitely the donkey. I remember going to the equine abattoir and seeing these poor animals waiting in line to be slaughtered, knowing what phenomenal animals they were, I knew that there was a bigger purpose for them as well than just to be C-grade meat or dog food.
Oh,
And
heartbreaking.
that definitely kept me, yeah. Yeah, and that definitely kept me going in the beginning. And I've learned so much from every single animal that's come onto the farm. Everyone's got a story. Most of them were kind of thrown away and not wanted. And to see now how incredible it is to see their milk changing people's lives, from obviously babies with cow's milk protein allergy, people with eczema, psoriasis, people with whooping cough, and then we even seen people with quite severe autoimmune diseases having a turnaround on the donkey milk as well. And seeing how these thrown away animals now have got this incredible purpose and are changing people's lives has definitely also kept me going. I've also always felt there's a bigger calling on my life than just me. And when we moved to our new farm in Michalisburg, when we outgrew the small holding in Randfontein, I just had this feeling on my heart that this property needed to be a place of healing. And not only for me or for my staff or for the animals, but for obviously people that came and visited us and people that interacted with us. And yeah, it's been amazing just to see how these animals have changed people's lives.
So when I visited the farm, like I said, I had no idea what to expect. And the thing that first stood out for me was how clean it is, firstly. And when you go to a farmyard, it's often not the case. There you have hundreds of donkeys, you have goats, you have the odd calf, you have horses, you have alpacas, you have dogs. Have I missed anyone out?
Yeah, I think you pretty much covered it. There's some
I think
bunnies
so.
thrown in there as well.
There's bunnies, but there's no smell of anything. And there's almost this warm haze of, there's a peacefulness about the place. And, everyone, I'm talking about the animals, seem really happy. They all know that everyone's there to cuddle them and feed them. But there's a level of calm and contentment that you don't often see, even in, normal visiting farmyards. So I'm assuming that has a lot to do with you. When you create a safe space, I think it's quite tangible. So whatever you're doing there is clearly, it's clearly tangible to a visitor. So, your ethos is, I don't know how to say this, but it is becoming part of the environment. So you're certainly doing something right, and there's certainly something protecting you there. So that it's incredible to see.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nikki. That really means a lot. I'm a bit of a hygiene freak. So we have to obviously make sure that the spaces are clean and tidy. And it's the amazing thing about the farm as well is we use everything that's produced here. So in the morning, all the manure gets collected and we obviously form compost heaps, and that's used to obviously make the soil healthy again so that we've got good grazing. So everything gets cleaned out every day to make sure it's super, super clean. Obviously, we're dealing with milk as well, so we make sure that our is absolutely optimum. And from the animal perspective, it's been so amazing because we opened up basically the farm to day visitors out of desperation. We moved to the new farm, and literally it was 2 days before lockdown level 5 hit, and we moved. I had six new staff members, and suddenly we couldn't operate, and we couldn't stock our products in stores. And the great gift that was given out of that was when the lockdown levels started to ease up, and we were allowed to do outdoor events. That was our opportunity to kind of save the farm, and we opened up the farm, in the hope we'd have 5 or 10 visitors coming just to help towards our feed bill. And it was so beautiful that initial opening of the farm, because people had obviously been in lockdown, and families could come out and kids could take off masks and actually be kids again. And it was quite an emotional, beautiful experience. And the animals that I have on the farm are obviously all my fur kids. And so the concept of kind of letting other people interact with them, and I didn't know how the animals would interact with the people, but somehow they just kind of got it, and they knew that they needed to be what the people needed, and without us even doing anything, it's just been this phenomenal thing that's happened on the farm. Where, like, for instance, we have picnic blankets that we put out, people can chill on picnic blankets, and then we've got our donkeys will come and lie down, like the donkey foals will come and lie down with the people on the picnic blankets. And then we've got like our goats will also come and chill with them as well. And it's just been amazing because we have families that come to us and say how much it's meant to them to have the safe space, to have a place where obviously their kids can experience animals in a very, very different way. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something in the water in Magaliesburg or something like that. These animals have just literally, they know what their calling is as well. Like we've got special needs schools that also come and visit us, and I've never had any experience in dealing with special needs kids, but the animals somehow seem to know how to work with them. So when you've got kids that are tactile sensitive or are not that great with touching animals or dealing with animals, there's something about an animal that the animals like allow the kids to touch them, and the kids actually enjoy that, and the parents see such a change in those kids. And it kind of also links in with donkey milk as well. You know, donkey milk's also amazing for children with autism because of the taurine, natural high levels of taurine in the milk. And so we're seeing not only a physical healing, but also almost like a mental healing as well, where these kids can actually just connect and chill and de-stress with these animals. Another thing as well, and I love the fact, Nikki, that you said that you could feel that there's peace on the farm, is in order for us to produce donkey milk, it's a very different process to cow dairies. So donkeys, okay, with regards to it being different to cow dairies, is that in a cow dairy, obviously once the cow's had her calf, the calf is taken away from the mom and is put on the bottle, and there's never really a cow-calf relationship, and that cow is factory farmed normally for a period of 10 months. Even if she's in a stress state, she's able to produce milk. And there's actually a lot lately in the media as well about why society's so highly strung, why we're caught in sympathetic mode. And one of the reasons, one of the theories could be because of the stress hormone in our dairy.
Absolutely. You're
And we
drinking
obviously
stress hormones, and that comes from eating most factory farmed meat. You know, if a pig has high levels of cortisol in its body because it knows it's being, slaughtered, absolutely you're going to take that in. That's measurable for sure.
Obviously, with the donkeys, in Europe, they tried doing the same type of process to get optimum milk out. So take the foals away from the moms, they never see the moms again, and then basically factory farm the donkeys. But luckily, donkeys don't allow for that to happen because they're extremely sensitive animals. So if we remove the foal away from the mom, she goes through so much stress that she dries up her milk production completely.
Correct.
So we always have to make sure that foals are kept with the moms, and if the moms are full of milk and we try and milk them out, but the foal is not present, she won't release the milk, so we don't have milk let down. As soon as you introduce the foal back to the mom, it stimulates oxytocin release in the female donkey, and that leads to milk let down. So we've got to have an environment where the animals are where it is stress-free, where they feel very safe. If the foal is stressed, the mom is stressed. So we have to make sure, obviously, they are in a stress-free environment to have that oxytocin release. So it really is happy milk.
I
And
love
it's up
that.
to us, obviously. And it's up to us as farmers also to ensure that our animals are happy. And, it's great because the donkeys force you to be humane. For me, that's really massive. And our milk production is minuscule, because obviously we're sharing milk with the foal. And the first 2 months, once the foal is born, we don't take any milk, and that's mom and foal time. And it's important, obviously, for the foal's mental development as well. And then after that, we go into a milking cycle where we milk out, obviously, with the foal present. And a good dairy cow can give you up to 40 liters of milk per day per cow, whereas with our donkeys, we only get around about 250 mil of milk per day per donkey. You literally need to keep 160 donkeys to produce what one dairy cow can produce. So milk production is quite low.
What you've described is ethical farming in its truest sense, and This is exactly the antithesis of normal dairy farming. So what happens with a calf and a cow? Yeah, under normal circumstances, the cow would also stop producing milk, but they're given hormones to carry on lactating whether they want to or not, which is cruel, which is the wrong way of doing it. And you know, this is what all of these, you know, everyone's fighting against is, well, you know, we've created this system for food production, but it's not doing anyone any good in the long term. Yeah, it's keeping the cost of milk relatively low, but it's not helping anyone in the big picture, the big scheme of things. So, you know, there's no other way of doing it other than putting the foal first, and rather we consume less at maybe a higher price, but that's probably the only way to do this ethically. And there's lots of donkeys, and if we can just do this in some way that sustains everybody and keeps everyone happy, that's how we've got to live life going forward. It's not to say you don't eat meat or you don't consume dairy. There's ways of doing this in a way that everyone can live healthily, happily, and get on with their lives. Yeah, when it comes to mass food production, that's a whole other story, and it's not going to change anytime soon. But the difference is you're making a difference, and that's really what counts.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's the thing, you know, like at the end of the day as a farm, you've got to go to bed at night and see if you can kind of be
Limit
fine with
yourself.
what you're doing. Completely. And obviously being quite close to my animals, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way. Even when it comes to cow dairies, there are definitely ways of doing it in the right way. There are other farmers who do actually keep calves with their cows, and obviously it's smaller production. But obviously we're going, like you say, into maximum production, minimum cost, which is at obviously at the risk of the animal's well-being.
Yeah, no, you can't put your animals in harm's way. But then, I mean, you're never going to get rich doing this, but we're going to try. We're going to try and get you out there to as many people as possible. So
Yeah,
let's talk
absolutely.
about your
Thank you.
products. Other than, you know, you've got your donkey milk, which you supply to stockists all over the country, and I'm sure you're going to export as well. But what are your other products? Because when we were there, we went to your store and there were so many things that you are doing with donkey milk.
Okay, great. Yes. So, first off, donkey milk is the closest milk type to human milk. So that's why it's really great as a substitute for babies suffering from cow's milk protein allergy. So, as a substitute milk, it's excellent. And we see these babies who've been on hyperallergenic formulas and who haven't done well on those, absolutely thrive on the donkey milk. So that's one of the obviously benefits of the donkey milk itself. And then getting to our product range. So we've developed our own skincare range with the key ingredient obviously being our donkey milk. And the reason why donkey milk is so amazing for your skin is it contains an extremely high retinol content, which is obviously good for skin rejuvenation. And it also has a 60% higher vitamin C content than cow's milk, which obviously also helps it helps regenerate the skin.
Very good for your skin, yeah.
And then, and then it's got fatty acids as well, which help reduce fine lines and wrinkles. So it's known as an anti-aging product as well. And the pH of donkey milk is also very similar to our skin, so it's easy for absorption as well. And it's obviously an ancient remedy which goes back to Cleopatra. The legend of Cleopatra is that she took daily baths in donkey milk, and that was the
Must have
key
been
to
a
her
lot of
beauty.
donkeys here.
And so the legend is that Cleopatra had over 700 donkeys in milk,
Okay.
which obviously correlates with the low production that we find on our farm as well.
Yep. So my daughter, who's only
And
13, and she's obviously got a 13-year-old skin, but she loves your skincare products, and they really are working well for her skin. I thought it'd be too rich for her, but no, it's really quite amazing. And she loves them. So I can definitely vouch for them from a teenage skin point of view as well.
Oh, that's awesome news. I'm so glad she's enjoying it. And yeah, the products have been amazing because there's a natural antihistamine and a natural anti-inflammatory in donkey milk. So if we're looking at the skincare side of things, it reduces inflammation on the skin as well. So we're also seeing people with eczema, with psoriasis, because of the natural antihistamine, natural anti-inflammatory, excellent results on the product. Obviously, it doesn't have the harsh side effects of your chemical cortisones when it comes to treating those conditions. And it's super gentle on the skin. So our soap as well, a lot of parents say when their babies have got nappy rash. They see great results with the soap as well, and also for acne as well. We see a reduction in inflammation. The soap that we use, that we manufacture, has got kaolin clay in it as well, so it also extracts any impurities, and then the donkey milk obviously goes in and does the good work. We also have very, very high concentrations of donkey milk in our products. A lot of the overseas products will only have like 5% donkey milk in, but we look at a concentration between 25% and 40% of donkey milk in our products. So a very high concentration that people are actually getting the benefits of the donkey milk. And that's also why our products are small batch made. They're manufactured on the farm. They don't have extremely long shelf lives because we want to put obviously the good stuff in and not nasty preservatives so that it lasts forever on a shelf. But for us, it's been super rewarding because it also gives us more one-on-one contact with our clients when they order from us. And we get great feedback as well in seeing what great results they have with the skincare products.
Yeah, it's super satisfying. And then, of
Sure.
course, you've got your brownies and your ice cream and all these other products that people can go in and try. And now you're going to be supplying our favorite real food market, Jackson's, soon, which is going to be exciting. And it opens up a whole new market for you as well. So if anyone's interested in trying donkey milk or any of the incredible skincare products, you can find them at a number of stockists. And on your website, you've listed all your stockists.
Yes, so all of our stockists are on our website. Our products are available from our online store. And then milk is available at Jackson's Real Food, as you mentioned, which we're super excited to be at. And then also we've got some other collection points as well in Pretoria, Cape Town, and Joburg for frozen donkey milk.
That's amazing. All right, so the Donkey Dairy is in the Magaliesberg. It's around an hour out of Joburg. And if you happen to be visiting or in the area, I can't recommend it enough. Just a couple of hours is enough to restore your soul and instill positivity in your mind, which is what we all need right now. It's an amazing day out, especially if you have children to entertain. But even if you don't, even if you just want to go and remember why we are doing what we are doing on this earth, I can't strongly recommend enough going and visiting Jesse and his incredible animals. All the contact details, directions, social links will be in the show notes, and obviously we'll post those to our social media pages. So Jesse, all of the best with your incredible donkey dairy, and may you go from strength to strength.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's such a privilege to be on your show. I love what you do, and I'm so excited that I could be a part of it. Thank you.